Over the last couple of years, the word caravan took on a bit of a negative connotation as groups of people from Central America traveled through Mexico, headed for border crossings into the United States. The event known as Cuba Caravan predates that sequence of events. For three decades now, humanitarians have gathered together to bring support and supplies to Cuba, despite the American embargo in place for most of that time. The trip to Cuba is supposed to happen in July with a stop in the Rogue Valley in June. Let's hear what's happening with the plans from two guests, Stephanie Serrano. Is with IFCO, the Interreligious Foundation for Community Organization. She's the principal caravan speaker. Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Pleasure to have you here with Marianne Jones, who's the Pastors for Peace organizer in the Rogue Valley. Welcome, Marianne.
Hello, I'm happy to speak with you.
So, Marianne, let's start with you. There was a stop in the Rogue Valley planned for June. What is the status of that?
That has been postponed. Actually, we originally planned to have the event in April, on Sunday, April 5th, for the community, and then an event the following day, the 6th, at the SOU campus. However, that has been postponed to some later date, which has not yet been set.
All right, so Stephanie Serrantos, is the caravan itself still on the calendar?
The caravan is looking at rescheduling. The caravan to Cuba was scheduled to be in mid-July, and we are expecting to move that further back in the year in light of the coronavirus affecting the world.
Okay, I'm not surprised. And so many things now that were planned for summer, the Olympics, Wimbledon, you know, other things that are not sporting events have already been pushed back. So no great surprise to hear that Caravan to Cuba is also part of that. So if you would, Stephanie, give us the overview and talk about the history of Caravan to Cuba and what it's all about.
Yeah, so an organization called Pastors for Peace has been traveling to Cuba delivering humanitarian aid, and I believe this caravan, the caravan for this year will be the 28th or 29th. There's been many caravans. There were many years where they traveled in school buses and took barges to carry, actually leave the school buses in Cuba, which you can still find there. In recent years and in my involvement, we have been really focusing on educating people to learn more about Cuba and what it is actually like there. So we take groups of people and we visit with the Cuban people, people who are working in healthcare, government, community organizations, cooperative agriculture, to really get a sense of how the Cuban people live and how the Cuban government works, and what their values and priorities are.
Do you think attention to things like how the Cuban people live tends to get obscured by the political tussling over why doesn't Cuba do what we want Cuba to do from the United States administration perspective?
It totally gets obscured, and we recently heard Bernie Sanders speak about the Cuban work in education, where he was referring to an initiative where young, mostly teenage children, adolescents went into the countryside to teach the populace how to read, and dramatically raised the literacy rate in the country. And that initiative has been sent into other countries. And it was like there's so much backlash to say one good thing about Cuba. So we have these ideas. When I first went, I had very, very few ideas because the curtain had been drawn. And then to discover, here's a group of people. They face the same kinds of problems we face. They're addressing them in a different way with a different government system. But pretty much anybody who travels to Cuba comes back with a glow because the Cuban country is about really love. It's about actions based on love and people who are extremely loving and gracious.
Stephanie, did the events in Caravan to Cuba change at all in the short time when the United States had an embassy open in Havana again?
So that's an interesting question because there's been some progress. The along with delivering aid to Cuba, there have also been political efforts to end the embargo, and there was progress made during the Obama administration. My first trip to Cuba was right after the election and right before when travel was open, right before travel was closed down again.
Mm-hmm.
So but I know that, for example, the Cuban Five who were political prisoners in our country were released through efforts that Pastors for Peace were central to. But right now, our efforts are really focused on ending the embargo. And I just read this morning on the 31st, there was an article in The Nation about petitions to the United Nations right now to lift the sanctions on Cuba in light of the pandemic as a humanitarian act, both to aid the Cuban people and to aid the whole world, that if we're not acting together, if we're not working together, we are defeating ourselves.
We are talking about the caravan to Cuba, which is being pushed back from its original planned time to go from the United States to Cuba in July. Stephanie Sarantos is one of the principal speakers for the caravan. Marianne Jones is one of the local folks from Pastors for Peace in the Rogue Valley. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 with questions and comments. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Marianne Jones, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you work and your attraction to Pastors for Peace and the Cuba Caravan.
Well, I'm retired. I first went to Cuba with my late husband in the year 2000, just as individual travelers. And we were able to stay with families in the different towns where we visited. And that was a wonderful experience because we got to know what their daily lives were like. They were very warm and welcoming, and we made some very fine human connections on that trip. Then I went to Cuba with the Cuba Caravan in 2005, and then I went again in 2010 and 2011. So experienced three different caravans, and of course have kept closely in touch with the caravan activities every year. So I think the caravan is a very, very important effort on the part of Pastors for Peace to give people in this country a look at the real Cuba and see how people actually live there. And I also always support the fact that it's an ongoing expression of friendship and solidarity with the Cuban people, which I feel is very important. The Cubans feel a great pride in their country. Their country puts education, health, and meaningful work as some of their top priorities. And there's a home for everyone. It may be modest, but on the streets of Havana or other cities, you do not see any homeless people hanging around, no place to sleep, no place to live. That absolutely does not happen in Cuba. So those are some of the reasons that I've been involved with the Pastors for Peace and the Cuba Caravan, and feel so supportive of what they're doing.
Now, your particular trips, so it's, you said once with your husband and then three caravans, is that so four trips to Cuba altogether?
That's correct.
Have you seen much change? I mean, we're talking about basically the de-Castroization of Cuba over the course of the four trips you've been there. I just wonder how much change you've noticed in the country, if any.
Well, you mean what happened after Fidel Castro passed away?
Yes, and when he stepped down and then passed away.
That, of course, was just a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and I last went to Cuba with a caravan in 2011.
Oh, right, sorry.
But things have not changed from everything I've been able to find out. Things have not changed in any meaningful way. They're still committed to their health education for people from many countries. I don't know if folks listening are aware that Cuba has a Latin American school of medicine in Havana, where young people of 124 nations are receiving free medical education. And that includes people from our country. There are nearly 100 doctors practicing medicine in our country who received free medical education in Havana.
And noticed, too, that Cuba was recently sending doctors to Italy to help with the COVID-19 cases there.
Yes. I saw an article about that. And their view of relations with other countries is that we are all in this together. We want to help people in other countries if we're able to. And yes, they were setting up hospitals, open air hospitals, I believe, in Italy, and also one thing that our current government administration is doing is trying to label the doctors and nurses in other countries as exploited and agents of communist indoctrination, which is ridiculous. So in Brazil, Ecuador, and Bolivia, there were changes of government, and the governments allied with Havana were replaced with ones that were more eager to do the bidding of Washington. So those three countries sent home thousands of Cuban medical workers so they could conform to the demands of the United States. It's a shame for the people in those countries who lost access to that kind of medical care.
Well, Mariana, I'm certain you've endured sneers and worse for going to Cuba and for trying to deliver something of value to the Cuban people. And the sneers would come from people who say you're only helping the Cuban government. I wonder how you respond to that.
Well, actually, I haven't experienced that personally from anyone, but we actually are helping the Cuban people, and the Cuban government is basically wants to respond to the needs of its people. That might seem like a strange concept here in our country, but the government wants to as I mentioned, make education available for everybody. It's free in Cuba up through graduate school if you qualify.
Now, Stephanie Cervantes, you mentioned the education element as well, and mentioned Bernie Sanders, who drew fire for praising the educational aspects of the Cuban system. I mean, the people who blasted and point to things like Cuba's record on human rights, and I wonder what your thoughts are on that subject.
So the Cuba that we hear about in the news is completely filtered. And when you visit the country, you can start to see the filtering. You can start to see that even a positive article about Cuba includes something about the human rights abuses. When you visit Cuba, you see a country where the priorities of government are human rights. So in education, children are taught the Children's Bill of Rights, developed by the United Nations, adopted by most countries in the world with the glaring absence of the United States. And in Cuba, people have the right to health care. I think when we talk about the world's socialism, people just get scared and stop listening or stop asking questions. And we were preparing to visit and do a presentation in Cuba. And I actually did this presentation with one of my students who broke down socialism that when you, to really understand what we're talking about, it's an economy that's owned and controlled collectively. And so when we visit a factory that mills salt or creates equipment for hospitals or homes, the decisions about the, for example, the work quotas, the company sets a work quota. I just heard the end of your last presentation on the radio when I was waiting here. In Cuba, in a factory, the owners of the factory do not say, we are going to produce this many articles of clothing, whatever it is we're producing this year. The workers come together, they set their quotas, they decide how much work they're going to do. So there isn't a person coming down on you making decisions. It's a collective decision making, and that happens at every aspect. So my advice for people who, you know, react with that, whoa, Cuba, we all have that imagery. I had that imagery, is to stop and ask. We have the internet now. You can find out more than one perspective of what's going on in Cuba. But to be in Cuba is to be in a country where the government's job is to take care of people. And so if you go to prison, for example, you have a job while you're in prison. You work with people who are not incarcerated. When you come out of prison, you can vote. You have a home and you have a job when you're guaranteed that. So it is with healthy skepticism and analysis that we should really be thinking about what have just become kind of headlines. Oh, mm-hmm. Cuba equals this.
Right. Yeah.
Really think about it.
Your point was well taken. Cuba, whoa, I think is how a lot of people do tend to respond.
Right.
So the Cuba caravan off until you think September, maybe?
Sometime in the fall is what we're thinking about. Yeah.
Okay.
Stephanie
Cerrato, go ahead.
Well, we are also considering doing an online caravan of sorts. You know, we're doing an online caravan for some of the groups that were in Oregon that were going to come and listen to us on Saturday night. But if you look at the Pastors for Peace website, or if you go to the National Network on Cuba, those are great resources to learn more about Cuba and about informational events coming up.
All right. So we are linked to Pastors for Peace at our website at jeffexchange.org, if that helps people get a little shortcut there. So Caravan for Cuba happening sometime. The Rogue Valley events have been postponed, obviously. Marianne Jones in the Rogue Valley, Stephanie Cerrantos, thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thank you for giving time for this important subject.
Thank you.
All right, Take care. That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening. Hour 2 of The Exchange coming up.